Reach out for him. Reach out for him. It's so wonderful to know that when you think about that happening in the Bible where Peter tries to walk on the water and does walk on the water because of his faith in Christ. Even though he sinks, he reaches out and Jesus bends and stoops and he picks him up. And that same Jesus who picked up Peter is the same Jesus this morning who can reach out to you, pick you out of the miry clay and plant you on the rock. It's wonderful to be in the house of God this morning. I'm just going to be reading a few scriptures and I pray that God will bless you through his word. The first scripture is that of Daniel, reading from Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. For time's sake, I will go ahead and read. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Verse 17, if it be so, our God we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace and will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Then reading from the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21 says this, now unto him that is able, everyone say able, able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. This morning, just for a few minutes, I'd like to speak to you on the subject, he is able. Church of God, he is able. God is able. He will not let you down. He will not forsake you, no matter how dark this life gets. He is able to do exceeding and abundantly above that which you can ask or think, according to the power, the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you. When I looked at the word able, it was very interesting. The meaning of the word able can be having power, skill, means, or opportunity to do something, to fulfill a certain task. The Greek meaning of the word in the book of Ephesians is to be of power to make possible. It is actually from the word able that we get the word ability. And we use the word ability all of the time. Church, it's simple. To have ability, one must have the power, the might, the skill, and the tact to take advantage of the opportunity to fulfill the task that is set before them. We regularly hear nowadays the word disability, but this morning I want to concentrate on ability. Even from young ages, we measure ability. When Phoebe was born a few weeks ago, the doctor within a few hours was throwing her up in the air like some kind of, you know, those Italian pizzas, making sure her reflexes. I was like, no, it's fine. No, she'll be fine. Just checking her hips. Oh, dear. But he was checking her ability to be flexible, her ability to pass certain tests, her ability to move her hips, her ability to hear, her ability to make eye contact. The doctors wanted to know whether she had the power, the skill, the tact to fulfill those tasks. Through our lives, and even as young people, we have tests to measure our ability. Academic tests or physical tests. We do this because people want to see where we are at. And so we have things like this. You can tell I don't use it often. I do. We measure things, measure abilities, and we compare one entity with another entity rightly or wrongly. And when we look at mankind and how technology has moved on so quickly, we now have the ability to do tremendous things. We have the ability to do things that previous generations only dreamed of. Man has the power and the ability to cause even things like aeroplanes that are up to 1.2 million pounds heavy to fly 38,000 feet above the ground. Mankind now has the ability to have face-to-face conversations with people who are thousands of miles away, but you're talking to them like they're opposite you immediately. And when, as humans, we line up how things used to be compared to how things are now, we become smug because we think that we have surpassed the ability of generations before, and in so many cases feel as though our ability has surpassed even that of the Creator, even that of the Most High God. And so sometimes there are even religions who call themselves gods or try to get themselves to a place where they get to godhood because they feel as though somehow they have that ability. And so therefore, we judge based upon ability. And if you don't have the power to help me, you don't got the right suit on, I don't think I'm going to add you into my life circle because I don't think you have the ability to walk the way I want to walk. And let me see your car. Man, your car's rubbish. I don't want to drive in your car because if I drive in your car, it means that people will think that I don't have the ability that others do and the ability that I would like to portray myself as having. It's all about ability. We judge. And society is all about judging nowadays whether or not you fit my, not God's measurement, my measurement of my ability for you to even walk down the street with me. And so what happens is that we take this ability dominated mentality and we hold it up against the Most High God. I'm coming into church on Sunday. What's the worship like? Nah. Usher, I want to sit on that pew because apparently, I told you I learned this word apparently from Bob. Apparently, that person did this, and so I don't want to be seen being measured up with that person. And so we take that same measure and we lift up our measuring rods to God and we are left frustrated. We are left angry. Why? Because how can you measure as far as the east is from the west? How can you measure the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end? How can you measure He that said, let there be light at the very beginning, and life burst forth? But yet you do. And that's why you are left frustrated, because you cannot measure omnipotence. You cannot measure omnipresent. You cannot measure the ability of the one true God. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what you're going through this morning, but what I do know is that my Jesus is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what you can ask or think with your finite
mind.
When you are sick in your body, he is still the doctor of all doctors. When you are unsettled in your mind about the future, he still has the peace that passes all understanding. And even though this world tries to explain him away, he is still the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Whatever you're going through this morning, I am here to tell you that God is able. He has the power. He has the skill. He has the opportunity to break through to you and to get to you. In a moment, he can change your test into a testimony. In a moment, he can change your mess into a message. I don't know about you, but there have been times, John, when I've been down and out, didn't know where to turn, but I lifted my eyes unto the hills, whence went come my help. And in a moment, he turned my life upside down. He is able. He is able. And this is why he came. Because he had the ability not just to change lives, but to turn them upside down. He stood in the temple. He said, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison doors to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort those that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called. Listen, if you read that, it doesn't make sense. How can something be broken, be called a tree of righteousness? It's because God puts this down, throws it away. His ability is far and above anything we can ask or think, church. Church of God, this church, this word still rings true. He is ready to blow your measuring stick out of the water. He's ready to get rid of the way that you think, the strongholds in you. Well, if God is going to bless me, then he must do it in this way. If God is going to get me out of this situation, then according to what I can see here, he must do this and do this and do this. Before I give my life to Christ, what I am going to do is I'm going to say, right, God, if you can do this for me, and then if you can help me deal with this, and if you can help me with my finances, and then blah, 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 then we have a deal. Listen, Jesus doesn't have to cut no deal with you. When he said it is finished on that cross, the Bible says that the curtain was torn in two. The testament, the covenant was made. Jesus doesn't have to make any covenant else. He doesn't have to fit into your way of thinking, because he is able. He is able. And so there, I sit in my barren condition because I'm now in a situation where, I don't know if you've been in situations like me, but there's no precedent for it. I'm now in a position where I see no precedent. You know what I mean by precedent? It means that I haven't been here in my life before. So because I measure things based upon what I have experienced before, and now I am in a mess far deeper than I have experienced before, I don't know what to do. It may be sickness in my body. It may be sickness in my mind. You know, initially, I was all excited because it said, we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Woo! I had people laying hands and doing this and claiming this and standing on their head and doing all of these things, but nothing seemed to happen. And so everything that I measured for my life Even other people's lives. I tried it inches instead of centimeters, but I came back with the same results. It's not working. And so now I wallow in depression. And in my life, I have no precedent of anyone being able to break me out of the situation that I am now in. But then I listen to the preaching of the word. I remember that he can save me, and I remember that I don't have to be a specific type of person for God to reach down from heaven and to lift me up out of the miry clay. For the Bible says that God is no respecter of person. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, for whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, the ability of God puts to an end my ability. And he says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You say, I don't understand why I'm going through this. It's so difficult, Pastor. I feel like I'm in a black box and I'm hitting the sides. Listen, sometimes he's waiting for you to stop fighting and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Because his ability is the only thing that will get you out of your mess. For he is able. Church of God, there are people who try to measure God's ability, and they leave and they're left flabbergasted and frustrated because they don't have their miracle. They look through the word and try and create precedent, and they bend it this way. Sometimes you just need to trust in his ability to get you through. Bible says this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There are times in your life where you will have to trust on the ability of God. And in doing that, we call it faith. You have no precedent apart from the word of God. This is why it's so important to be there at prayer meetings, be there in church service, morning and evening, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. So you might not feel like it, or you might have things to do, but listen, don't come complaining to me if you're not found in the house of God and you feel like you've got nowhere to go. It is the word of God that kind of just kindles the faith inside of you, because faith without works is dead. Something happens when my dad would call it, faith is the currency of heaven. He'd say, when you don't know where to turn, it's not, there's no point you taking out 20 pounds saying, God, listen, I've got a headache. Please, could you do something for me? No, faith is the currency of heaven. God would say, go look at my word. And then you can say, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So that's where I lay hands on myself. I've done it before. Lay hands on myself and say, Jesus, the Bible says, by your stripes, I am healed. And by faith in his word, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But all I know is he is able. It goes beyond myself to his ability. He is able, church. He is able. Even if I look through the word of God, from the very beginning all the way to the very end, there are examples of men who have tried to use their measuring stick and tried to put it up against God. And God says, put your measuring stick away. I'm just about to blow your mind. Let me give you an example. Ever heard the story of the Red Sea? There they are, the children of Israel and Moses. Moses is there in his head thinking, I have done everything you've asked me to do, Lord. I've come to the end of what I know how to do. I've led them. I've used the leadership skills that you taught me in Egypt. I've used the leadership skills that you taught me with the sheep. But now I have Pharaoh's army behind me and I have a sea in front of me. Then God says, throw this out the way. Now stand still and see my ability. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the wind begins to blow. And those children of Israel walk through on dry land. Why? Because he is able to do exceeding and abundantly above what we ask or think. Even a few years later, they go and they realize that one of the biggest towns that they need to take is Jericho. Jericho. They think, wow, how are we going to take Jericho? Walls are a stick. You could drive a chariot through them. People living inside of the walls. How are we going to overcome? What are we going to do? Listen, we went to AI and we messed up. And now I'm trying to find out, God, how are we going to do this? God says, are you ready to wait for me to talk to you about my ability to get you through a situation? Prayer is two-way, Church of God. Sometimes we can put a list and we never wait for what God has to say for the rest of it. He said, every day for 7 days or for 6 days, walk around, and on the seventh day, I want you to go around 7 times and I want you to shout. I want you to worship. Now, that makes no sense whatsoever if you are using your ability ruler. When has anyone ever won a battle doing that? When has anyone ever won a battle worshiping? I can just imagine on that last day, they get there and they let out a shout. Hallelujah. And the walls are shaken. Why? Because they didn't take their little notes and say, well, if we look through history, this has happened and that. No. They allowed God to do his ability thing. They allowed God to show forth his power, his skill, his tact. They gave him opportunity and the walls came tumbling down. I want to just hammer on one point just before I close. Worship is powerful. It does not make physical sense. People would look at you outside of the church saying, why on earth, if you have all of these problems, would you go sing some songs with some crazy people on a Sunday morning? But I tell you what, worship is one of the most powerful things in the whole entire world, because it's not based on this, it's based upon that. And when you begin to worship in faith, when I lift my hands and say, Jesus, I come to you with all of my heart, all of my soul, something begins to happen that brings down strongholds. Church of God, when we worship, walls tumble down, because God is able to demonstrate his ability, because we take our controls and we give them to him and say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. As John the Baptist, one of the greatest prophets, says, let me decrease, let my will and my agenda fall to the side, that you may be exalted and increase in my life. We read at the very beginning about these three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All precedent said that these boys wouldn't make it out. Well, the fire's hot, and they're not doing what the king said. And the king said that if they don't bow down and worship, then they'll be thrown into the fire. And all precedent says they will be thrown into the fire. But we read at the very beginning something so powerful, because there were young people, and I believe that there are people here today who understand that Christianity goes beyond what you can see, but it goes to a different place. a place of faith, they say this, O Nebuchadnezzar, O king, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter, but if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able. He is able. He has the power. He has the skill. He has the means. And now he has the opportunity. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I don't know what's going on in the details of your life. You could be sick in your body. You could have problems with family. I don't know what it is. But here's what I do know, that he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what you can ask or think. If you would throw, every time you use this now, you'll be able to think. If you would throw your strongholds, your measuring stick away and say, you know what, Father, I give it to you, then get ready. If you live right before God and if you honor him, for him not to leave you or forsake you. Let's pray. Father, you are awesome and you are powerful. And Lord, you said in your word, if we seek you, we shall find you, if we search for you with all of our heart. There are people here today who are in need of a touch from you. And I'm asking this morning that you would work in their hearts. That Lord God, that as they surrender to you, that they would see how great you are, how powerful you are. As they yield over control, I am praying, Lord, that you would bring salvation, that you would bring healing, that you would bring restoration, and that the kingdom of God would be demonstrated in our lives, in this town, in this region, in this country. I'm going to invite the musicians just to come as we close. Key of G, the song says, the splendor of the king, robed in majesty. He's on your side. He is for you. So trust him. The splendor of the king, robed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. What a wonderful God we serve this morning. Let's worship him as we close.